Morning. Jonah chapter 1, starting in the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, that the ship was like to be broken. And like Paul Harvey says, we know the rest of the story. But what happened here? Something happened to Jonah. Something affected Jonah to the point where he decided, it's better that I go somewhere else from the presence of the Lord. And Jonah found out, you can't hide from the presence of the Lord. You know, I saw a commercial on TV the other day. Wow, mom really does have eyes in the back of her head, because they make cars now that do so much. They can see behind you, they can see beside you, they can see around you. I buy my wife one of them, she'll never wreck again. I say that jokingly. No. But mom does have eyes in the back of her head, and I grew up believing mom had eyes in the back of her head. Then I realized she drove a big van with a mirror that was this big in it. She could see the whole van, so you couldn't hide from mom. But all joking aside, Jonah thought he could hide from God. But what caused that, thinking he could hide from God? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 4, starting in the first verse. This isn't answering that question, but it's another example of the same thing. Exodus chapter 4. If I quit flipping past Exodus 4 and going back to Genesis. We're starting the first verse. And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord hath said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And Doug would have fled before it too. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Now put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou wilt say. Moses already witnessed God talking to him from a burning bush. And God said, I'm sending you back to deliver my children out of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses doubted his abilities. And God showed him, with me, you have the ability to deliver my children from Israel, from Egypt. Showed him several examples. Snake on the ground from his rod. Hand being turned leprous. And said, God said, I put the words in your mouth. I give you the ability to speak. But Moses was not convinced. What happened? Why? I think it's the same thing that happens to me. If God were to ask me to do the same things, I would have the same questions. Because I'm a man. I'm human. But the big thing, I think, is, and God had even told him that I am that sent you. But there's a song in the Blue Book that says, None of self and all of thee. And I think that's the problem. They were having trouble taking the self out of the picture and giving it all to God. And what caused that? Same thing that causes me to do the same thing. Take God out of the picture and put myself in the picture. When we put self ahead of God, we have fear. Can I blame Jonah? Can I blame Moses for having fear? I don't think so. Had they ever seen anything like this done before? No. I've seen it. I haven't seen it, but I've read about it in the Bible. I still have doubts in my abilities. I have fear. And with that fear, I think, comes anxiety. And I looked up anxiety trust me, with anxiety, I'm not going to a certain scripture this morning. I'm leaving that one clear out of my lesson. Okay, because I'm anxious about that one little phrase in there. Anxiety, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. God knew what the outcome would be. Did Moses know what the outcome would be? No. Moses was looking at going and talking to the leader of the Egyptians and saying, "Let the children of Israel go." You get the picture of David standing there beside the giant, and the giant saying, "Who is this puny little thing you've sent out here to take me on?" Well, that puny little thing has God behind him, so that should take the anxiety. But there's still some fear and anxiety involved there. Jonah, did he know what the outcome would be? Well, if he knew what God's abilities were, he would know what the outcome would be. But yet he knew that Jonah was going to be involved in that, and he didn't have confidence in Jonah's ability. So, I mean, God did. It wasn't God. Jonah didn't have confidence in Jonah's ability. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but who here has anxiety in their lives? I know I do. I'll admit it. I have job stress. There are days I don't look forward to getting up and going to work because I know what job lies ahead of me. And usually once I get there and do the job, it was like, what was I worried about? It wasn't that big a deal. But I knew where I'm going Monday, so I had Saturday, Sunday to worry about it. You know, send me there on Saturday. Let me take care of it. No. But I had job stress. I have stress, anxiety about making ends meet. I mean, I get a paycheck every 2 weeks. I know I'm going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks. But that paycheck doesn't go very far. So then I start wondering and get anxious about, okay, I'm 3 days past my paycheck. I got 11 more days before my next paycheck comes. And then my wife has to calm me down a little bit. But it usually works out. And keeping the family together. You know, it's not that it's a hard thing to do, but trying to keep the family together can be anxious moments. Because you have all kinds of different age variances there. You have grandkids involved. You have son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws involved. And just ask Marta and Melda. Somehow they survived 31 years with me, so it's possible to do. But we all have anxiety and stress. What brought this about was I'm leaving Wednesday to drive to Eaton, Ohio with two other guys, but this is the email I got about the class I'm going to attend. This day and a half training is for distributors who want to designate an authorized trainer for their company to train in-house technicians or service agent technicians on Henny Penny equipment. Attendees for this class should be experienced technicians. Okay, I hope I am. But then they throw in with a strong electrical and mechanical understanding of Henny Penny equipment. And if you want to know, there's like 560 pieces of Henny Penny equipment out there. They use them in all the Hy-Vees, all the Wendy's. They use them in a lot of places. And they ain't none of them the same. So I'm supposed to know every piece of equipment they have. Well, somewhat of a general understanding. Because everybody knows anything you plug in is going to have power going to it. Okay, they're going to ask, are you smart enough to know, okay, you plug it in, what's your voltage supposed to be? Well, I can tell them what the voltage. Okay, you're smart enough to know to work on our equipment. It's basically that easy. I just make it more than it is because now I go to a computer screen, I go, you know, tap in a couple of buttons, and it'll tell me, my tummy hurts. This is what you need to do to fix it. Or my arm hurts. This is what you need to do to fix it. Okay, so it's not that hard. But when you look at this and you know you're going to be 8 hours away from the office, 8 hours away from my tablet, 8 hours away from my books, because they're not giving us any books at this class until we're done. Attendees for this class must be approved prior by Henny Penny Tech Support. Find a guy that sent me the so he suggested me, and I'm going to poke him in the nose. No, not really. Attendees will learn the NLP approach to communication along with a short presentation on oil management. If you don't believe it, oil management is a big thing in the restaurant business anymore. They have gotten to the point where they used to get 14 days out of a thing of oil in a fryer at McDonald's. Just think about that. You were eating fries out of a 14-day-old fryer. No. Now they've got it stretched out to where they can get 35 to 40 days out of a thing of oil. Okay. It ain't the oil they're worried about. It's the bottom line. You know, they were spending $30,000 a month on oil. Now they're only spending $15,000 a month. Okay. So they're looking at the bottom line. But I need to be able to explain why it's such a good thing to the customer. Each attendee will be required, this is what threw me, each attendee will be required to present a short training demo that will be critiqued by the rest of the class. The goal of this training is to create professionalism, continuity, and consistency when presenting Henny Penny tech info. I was having fun with the class until I saw that part. Okay, I am going to know half the guys that are in this class, and it's only a day and a half, and they're going to teach me enough that I know how to do a training demo on Thursday or on Friday morning. And then be critiqued by the class. Yeah, didn't get to be so much fun after I saw that. But I'll survive. I'll survive. But am I anxious about it? Yes. I'm not worried about the drive to Ohio. I've done that before. That's Indianapolis plus another hour. I can do that. I'll have two other guys with me. We can talk about it on the way and on the way back. And, you know, they'll take some of the stress out. But what makes me anxious about it is because I know I'm involved. I'm the guy that's got to get up and give the short training demo. Now, if they're only talking about 15 seconds, I can handle that. This is oil. That's clean. That's dirty. That's all you need to know. We're looking for clean. Get rid of the dirty. It ain't going to be that easy, though. I've got to be able to convince them why they need to buy this system. Because they're already buying $30,000 fryers, $40,000 fryers. Now we're trying to sell them on another $10,000 system that goes with it. That's a whole other ball of wax. You know, now you got to train your employees how to make this thing work. Because if you don't, McDonald's is going to find out because they know how much oil you're supposed to be using. So if it ain't right, they're going to come back to Goodwin Tucker and they're going to say, Doug, what did you do? Why did you? Did you not train them right? Scary, anxious, but I'll get through it. And I think that's what got Moses in trouble, and that's what got Jonah in trouble. They put Moses and Jonah in the picture, forgot about God. Okay? God was going to help them get through it. Will God help me get through Eaton, Ohio? Yes, He will. But He's not going to come down, He's not going to sit beside me, but He's going to give me the ability to pray to Him and ask for help. He's going to give me the ability to know I have other guys standing here beside me that, you know, you know, the guys from Goodwin Tucker I know won't laugh at me. I may have a guy from another company that may laugh at me. But God will provide for us a way to do it. In 2 Timothy, it warns us that perilous times will come. Now, this initially, I think, is speaking of the end times, but I face perilous times every day. Do I not? I think I do. I think all of us do. Why do I face perilous times every day? Because I think Satan is out to get me. It's like we heard about in the Lord's table. Satan is out to get me. Because Satan does not want me to succeed. Because if I succeed, Satan fails. And he doesn't want to be a failure. So Satan is out to get me. So I live in perilous times. Should I be surprised when those perilous times come? I don't think so. I should be prepared for them. But they're not going to be the same every day. They're not going to be the same every time. We have the example in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. And you can say, you know, you look at this scripture, sure, Jesus was Jesus, but Jesus was a man at this point in time. Jesus was tempted like I am tempted. And what happened? Satan came down and tried to trip him up. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all things of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and in him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I don't think the devil's ever set me on the pinnacle of a temple, but the devil's tried to set me so high on myself that I might try to turn away from God. All you need to do is a little more, and you'll have this, and then the world will come to you. Okay? He convinces me that with wealth comes power. Do I want to go for the wealth, or do I want to go for God? Nothing wrong with wealth. I'm still looking forward to getting that motor home someday, that motor coach, but I'm not going to forsake God to get it. I'm going to do the best I can, and if it happens, it happens. But I'm not going to forsake God, and that's what we learn in this scripture. Anxieties will come. Fear will come. But if we stick with God and His Word, we will overcome. If I continue in God's Word, I will overcome. We have several scriptures. I'm not going to turn to all of them. But in 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, Casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. I've had three surgeries in the last 3 years. I'm sure my surgeon cared for me a little bit. But I don't think he had the care that God has for me. Okay, I was just a patient to him, okay? But he knew that I did have an issue with my shoulder. But he wasn't going to, okay, Doug, I'm going to come stay at your house every day for the next 6 months and make sure you take care of your shoulder. He wasn't going to do that. God, Christ, will be with me on a daily basis. He will be shoulder to shoulder with me if I let Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's one we need to work on a daily basis. Because do I fear what man can do to me? Yes, I do. It wouldn't take very much for me to lose my job. I've got 21 years in at Goodwin Tucker. But it wouldn't take any more than me to make a real big mess up on a job to possibly lose my job. Okay? What do I fear? I fear what man can do to me on a daily basis. I had a customer get on me Friday. I walked away. I called my service manager. I said, and she said, oh, I know this customer. He's that way. I said, well, if I was any less of a tech, he'd have heard some words I shouldn't have been hearing coming out of my mouth. Because the man was trying to get on my bad side. He wanted me to snap and to say the wrong thing. Because I know the next call would have been to my office. You know what your tech said to me? You know what your tech did? That's what he was looking for because he's done it before. Well, I didn't give him the satisfaction. But I did tell the office I ain't going back there anymore. It's not worth it. I don't get paid enough to take that kind of abuse from a customer. Now, they may tell me to go back there tomorrow, and I may kindly tell them I don't want to go back, but I may still go back. But the world was trying to get me to snap, and they were trying to use it to their advantage. Satan does that. Satan tries to get me to snap on a daily basis. And sometimes it's not that hard to get me to snap. Other times, well, it's like when I sent that little email at that text message at that time. Sometimes you just got to crawl up in the high chair and sit on the timeout chair and color in your book. You know, sometimes you just got to color. You just got to remember, it ain't that bad a deal. Psalms 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Those are all good things to hear. God will deliver us. God is with us. But God alone can't help me. I have to allow God to help me. I have to be a willing participant in God's help. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. (Clears throat) Philippians chapter 4, starting in the 6th verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. I can handle this. I don't need God's help. Yes, I do. And how am I going to get God's help? By praying to God. I'm not a very good prayer, I'll tell you that. It takes me a little bit to stop and think, I need to pray. Some people, they may spend their whole day praying. God bless them. I'm not that kind of person. I need to work on it. I need to become that person. But I'm more willing to try to do it on my own. And then I start suffering the effects of it. But be careful for nothing. Okay? The devil's got me on that pinnacle. What am I going to do? Well, I'm strong. I can take you on. Or am I going to pray to God for help to get me off this pinnacle? Let your request be made known unto God. God already knows what I need, but He wants me to ask Him. You know? Probably, it wasn't going to come out right. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. God's peace is beyond explaining the peace He can give to us. In the last week, I had a cousin lost a mother-in-law, had another cousin's family lost an aunt. I was close to this aunt when I was growing up. I mean, we actually stayed at her house for a while when Dad and Mom were having some issues back when we were young over by our house. Couldn't make it to the funeral. I looked. It was six and a half hours to Honewald, Tennessee. I wasn't going to be able to drive to Honewald, Tennessee. So best I could do is I could send them a text message to my cousin to say, hey, let the family know I'm thinking about them. You know, if I was in Indiana, I'd have been able to make it. But I couldn't make it from, you know, down to Honewald. That's kind of a weird name, Honewald, Tennessee. I'm going to look that one up because that's a name I haven't heard before. But the peace of God, but I hope they had peace with God knowing that other people were thinking about them. They weren't just all by themselves burying their loved one. But the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep God in the picture. Keep Christ in the picture, and we will overcome. Will we be anxious? Yes. Will we have fear? Yes. I heard a guy on the radio say, have you ever had fear in your life? If you tell me no, he says, I'm going to know one other thing about you. You're a liar. Because no, and I thought that was kind of harsh coming. And this was, I'm listening to 99.3 and now on the radio is, and I just found out it's a gospel station. I think it just started. But it has a lot of gospel speeches, preaching and stuff on it. And some, a couple of guys used to be country music DJs on there now, and he's now rather religious. And I'm surprised because I would have never pictured him being that way. So that tells me that, hey, God's a wonderful God. He can turn somebody around. Now he's not a Church Christ member, but I can't fault him because he did find Christ. And I lost my train of thought. I lost it. But, we will have fear. I thought that was harsh to come from a stage. But if I don't admit I have fear, I think I'm setting myself for a fall. Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 25th verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into their barns, yet your Father, heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. and His righteousness. Isn't that what we should be doing? Seeking God and the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I profess to do that. But sometimes I don't live that profession. Sometimes the world gets the better of me and I start to slip. And what is it? Why is that? Because I take thoughts about tomorrow. I don't worry about today. And then today sneaks up on me and kicks me right in the hiney and says, surprise. It's kind of nice because I've had a lot of technicians hired and quit recently. We've had one hire on recently that initially grated on me, just drove me nuts. In fact, I've never gone to the office and talked about a technician before and said, hey, you need to set a brick on this guy because he's going to get out of hand. Well, then I find out he's a member of a Church of Christ. Then I find out he's a member of the Church of Christ on Hickman Road. And if I'm not mistaken, there used to be some Ingles, I think, that went to that church out by Merle Hay Road and Hickman Road area. But I haven't talked about that. But it's interesting because he'll be writing with me and we'll start talking about something. All of a sudden, he'll throw a scripture in there. Or he'll throw a thought in there about scripture, and I'd never thought about it. Well, last Friday, he texted me because he had been on a real bad job. He texted me and he said, "How's it going, Doug? Or how's your day going?" I sent back, "I'm doing just enough to keep my head above the water." And his response back to me was, "Remember, you have Christ in your life, and He's the best life preserver around." I'd never thought about that. Christ is my best life preserver. He'll keep my head above the water. Trouble is, I forget to put Him on sometimes. I forget to ask for Him to help me. But He will keep my head above the water. Can I do it on my own? No. I need the Word of God to get me through it. But I also need the congregation at Vandalia to get me through it. Okay. I need you guys all at my van tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. I'll throw a bunch of you in the back. A couple of you can hold on to the top of it. Then we're going to drive off to work. You guys can help me get through the day. It ain't going to happen. But I know I took the ladder rack off, so nobody can hold on to the ladder rack. Sorry. It ain't going to happen, but I do know that if I need to talk, why do I not think I can't just text somebody and say, hey, let's talk for a little bit or something. Okay? But I also need to study continually. I need to be studying in the scriptures. It's probably not the best thing for me, but I can't read my Bible while I'm driving, obviously. So I turn on some kind of gospel radio. And since I can't find Southern gospel music anywhere in the Des Moines, Iowa area, I listen to religious talking. And I used to listen to 91.3, and that kind of started to turn me off a little bit. So now I go to that 99.3. And it's interesting because I get some ideas when I hear people say things, and they're talking from the pulpit, when they do recorded ones. But I need to study continually. Why do I think I'm any different? I've been an employee for 21 years at Goodwin Tucker, and I still need to refer to manuals for help. I mean, I took a test the other day, an online test at work, 10 questions, had to get 9 of them right. I got 9 of them right. But I had 5 books laid out in front of me because that test was going to come out of any one of them 5 books. This is part of that Henny Penny deal. And that's only covering half of what they have. But I passed it with a 90. Yay! I'm not 100% kind of guy, so I was tickled just to pass it with a 90. Guy took it beside me. He didn't do so good, which is weird because we're sitting there side by side taking it, but it wasn't the same test. We thought, okay, it's going to be the same test. I answered this way. He passed. It wasn't the same test. So we really messed ourselves up. But I passed, so I'm proud of myself. But then I'll take it next time, fail it, so the pride comes before a fall. Then I'll fall. But why do I don't think I need that? So why would I think, after being a Christian for well over 40 years, I don't need to delve into the Scriptures and try to get some help? I do. I need to delve into the Scriptures and get some help. I got 25 books for Henny Penny. I got a book for Rational Combis this thick. I got one book right here. It gives me everything I need to know about life and about living for Christ and about overcoming the devil. All I need is right here, and sitting right here in Vandalia, too. Luke chapter 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." If I keep God in my life, everything will be possible. Will it be easy? No. Was it easy for Jonah? No. That's why he got on a boat and tried to run and hide. It wasn't going to be easier for Moses. But with God's help, it became easy because nothing is impossible. John chapter 15. I was heading for 1 John. John chapter 15. Starting in the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. Basically, I think he's telling me, without him, I can do nothing. I can do a lot, but it won't be towards kingdom of heaven. Because I will not be that branch that's in the tree that's growing. And you know what? Sometimes he has to prune this branch. There are times he has to knock Doug down. And he doesn't come down, he doesn't knock me down on the ground, but he knocks me down in my head. He knocks me down in my conscience. I know I've done something wrong. And I start to get anxious and fearful about it. But yet I'm stronger after that. But I also need to continue in prayer, talking to God, and casting all my care upon Him. As I said in the earlier scripture, cast all your care upon Him. Matthew chapter 6, we read that earlier. We can only serve one master. I mean, I work for Goodwin Tucker, but I serve God. Okay? When I walk out of a job site, hopefully that person thinks, wow, that's not the way I picture a technician being. You know, he slipped and he cut his finger and he had to wrap black tape around him, but I didn't hear a dirty word come out of his mouth. You know, I've had people call in after I left the job site and say, I was impressed with your technician. You know, I didn't used to hear about that, but I hear about it a lot now because they're more open about customers when they call in. But that does me good because I know maybe I've shown the light of Christ in my life a little bit. Now, I don't walk in with a big sign, Christian, on my forehead, but hopefully by my actions they will know what I am. Matthew chapter 7, starting in the 24th verse. How do we accomplish this? How do we overcome this? How do we begin to overcome this? Because I don't think we'll ever overcome anxiety and fear. But how do we start to overcome it? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Is my foundation built on Christ and on God, or is my foundation built on Doug and Doug's life? That's the question he's asking us, and he's asking us in that scripture. Where is your foundation on? As we conclude this morning, we know we will have anxieties, we will have fears, we will have troubles in our lives. The question is, on what foundation will that fall? Will that fall on a foundation of rock, which is God in our lives, or will it fall on a foundation of me, which is a human and subject to frailty? If you have not accepted Christ and been baptized, you don't have that rock foundation yet. You don't have that solid rock to stand on. You're given an opportunity to throw away the cares of the world, the sins of this past life, and be baptized into God's resurrection and death, Christ's death and burial. And if for some reason we've fallen away, we've slipped, we're always given the opportunity to get back on a solid rock as we stand and sing the closing song.